Margaret Thatcher's economic legacy.
Wake up to the day's top business headlines. Subscribe to the Marketplace Morning Report podcast. It's on iTunes and marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM in New York, hello, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Midday Update for Monday, the 8th of April. Former British Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher has died at the age of 87. Thatcher led the Conservative Party to victory and governed from 1979 to 1990. Marketplace's Stephen Beard joins us from London with more on her economic legacy. Good morning.
Good morning, Jeremy.
Well, so, Stephen, no shortage of things to talk about when it comes to Margaret Thatcher's legacy on economics.
No, she completely changed Britain. It's often referred to as the Thatcher Revolution. She turned Britain into a country that was much more like America, more entrepreneurial, more money-oriented, more efficient. She hugely reduced the power of the trade unions and also privatised a lot of the state-owned assets. I mean, before she came into power, British governments were running things like airlines and car companies. She sold all that off. She shook up the country and modernised it, perhaps more than any other British peacetime leader in the 20th century.
And anybody who followed the story or who has seen the movie The Iron Lady knows that not everyone was happy with what she did.
She was a very divisive leader. She was bitterly resented in some of those industries where her policies led to high unemployment, for example, coal mining and shipbuilding. And even among people who supported her, who voted for her, there was, after the financial crisis in 2007-2008, a sort of more nuanced view of her legacy, a sense that perhaps she put too much emphasis on financial services and on deregulation, and that she'd left the country too dependent on banking and finance. But overall, I would say the assessment is that Margaret Thatcher was a monumental figure who arrested Britain's post-war decline and made the country more economically liberal and more vibrant.
Marketplace's Stephen Beard in London. Thanks, Stephen.
Okay, Jeremy.
Well, the aluminum maker Alcoa will kick off corporate earnings season today, and public companies have a tough act to follow after a quarter in which the stock market hit an all-time high. As Sally Herships reports, many companies are not expecting a repeat this time around.
There is actually a song that sums up Wall Street's mood for first quarter earnings.
But now I'm cautiously optimistic.
I think that's the right way to put it.
Alec Young is a global equity strategist with S&P Capital IQ. He forecasts 4% growth in profits overall in strong sectors like housing, telecom, and consumer staples. But after a few years of strong profit growth, S&P 500 companies are making more sober predictions.
84 companies have actually lowered their expectations for first quarter earnings.
Tim Grisky works with the investment management firm Solaris Group. He says we've seen a pattern appear over the last 2 years, a strong first quarter and a weak second, which leaves analysts feeling,
in terms of first quarter earnings, optimistic, and in terms of second quarter earnings, more cautious.
Yes, I'm cautiously optimistic.
At least until companies feel the effects of the sequester budget cuts. In New York, I'm Sally Herships for Marketplace.
Get Marketplace's top headlines, podcasts, and special features delivered right to your inbox each day. Subscribe to the Midday Update newsletter at marketplace.org.
The remake of the horror film Evil Dead was the winner at the box office over the weekend, bringing in $26 million. That means that the 3D release of Steven Spielberg's 1993 hit Jurassic Park did not win the weekend. It brought in just $18.2 million. Maybe because it costs about as much to see a movie in 3D these days as it would to visit Jurassic Park if it were real. Well, the gap between faculty salaries at public and private universities is getting bigger. That's according to a study out today from the American Association of University Professors. And it makes clear the challenge that public universities face in competing for talent as states cut their budgets. Marketplace's David Weinberg reports.
For a doctoral professor at a public research university, the average salary this year is over $123,000. That same professor at a private university makes just over $167,000. It's a gap that's growing since last year. John Thielen is the author of The Rising Cost of Higher Education. He says that disparity will have a profound impact on where professors choose to teach.
Private and independent colleges and universities will be far more competitive and attractive, certainly to top academic talent.
With education funding growing tighter, both public and private universities are offering fewer tenure-track positions. Sarana Thornton, one of the authors of the report, says this could lead to a pipeline effect.
You know, the best and brightest undergrads, knowing what the picture is like in higher education, we worry about people like that not even going into higher education.
Instead, Thornton says, those graduates are choosing more lucrative careers in medicine, law, and engineering. I'm David Weinberg for Marketplace.
And finally, to a small town in the jungles of Peru with an airstrip that has no lights, which means planes can't take off at night. But last week, there was a medical emergency and three patients needed immediate attention at night. So a local radio host put out a call for help and 300 taxi drivers hightailed it to the airport and used their headlights to light up the runway. Long story short, the plane took off and all three patients survived. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.